Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to read two verses. Very familiar verses. One I'm sure you've heard preached before. Verses I have preached before. Perhaps you've committed these verses to memory. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to preach. But before I pray, before I preach, does anyone need to borrow a Bible? We have plenty of Bibles we can lend. Anybody need a Bible? Yeah. Ushers? Brother Gilligan, can you please help us here? We have several folks need to raise up. Just keep your hands up. One of our ushers will be glad you can do it. Now, Josh, you should have brought your Bible. You know your Bible in Sunday school, Josh? All right. Yeah, our Sunday school teachers need to encourage their scholars to bring their Bibles. All right. The ushers will give out Bibles, and then I'm going to pray. All right. Anybody else? Please raise your hand. Need a Bible. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach this Lord's Day. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful that burdens are lifted at Calvary. We know there's some folks here with a heavy burden. And Lord, we're thankful for the new year, a new start. And help me do my best to preach the cross today. And thank you, Lord, that we serve a risen Savior. And Lord, I pray the Spirit of God will direct me and help me and give me the right words to say. And may the Spirit of God speak to hearts today to bring comfort, in some cases conviction, in some cases repentance. And some, I pray that if there's any here without Christ, will be saved, gloriously saved even today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This time of year, a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. Perhaps you've made some. Some people make a resolution they're going to lose weight. Or some make a resolution they're going to exercise more. Some make a resolution they're going to read their Bible more. That's a really good one. I mean, they're all good, don't get me wrong, but some are more important than others. Pray more. And there's certainly a biblical basis for making New Year's resolutions. Recently I preached about the importance of reading the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation. Read it through every year. And some have resolved this year, I'm determined to read my Bible through from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation 22. I'm going to read the Bible through. That's a good resolution, right? And if you haven't made that resolution, if you haven't read the Bible through, let me encourage you to do that. Those of us who do that, we do it every year. It becomes part of us. See? It's just a habit like anything else. Like getting up and brushing your teeth, or having breakfast, or having your devotions. We just read our Bible through every day, from cover to cover. And once you start doing that, you just keep with it, right? So there's a biblical basis for making New Year's resolutions. And this morning, I want to look at this from a biblical perspective. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Matthew 22, verse 37 to 39. So according to the Lord Jesus Christ, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And I have preached this text before. Actually, I think on more than one occasion. And normally when I preach it, I divide it into three parts. Love the Lord God with all your heart. Secondly, love the Lord God with all your soul. And thirdly, love the Lord God with all your mind. But this morning, I'm going to try something different. The Lord impressed it upon me to just focus on the third part of that verse. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. With all your mind, we're supposed to love the Lord God. Now, for an unsaved man or woman, for a person who's not born again, keeping this commandment is an impossibility. Say, why is that? Well, they don't really love the Lord. How can you love the Lord with all your mind if you're not saved? You don't love the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4 describes them as lovers of pleasure. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we have many like that today. Many, many folks. They love pleasure. They love comfort. Hey, they love sin. But they really don't love God. Psalm chapter 10, verse 4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see? God is not in his thoughts. So how can you love the Lord God with all your mind when you're not even thinking about God? He's not in your thoughts. He's not in your mind. You go, they go through day after day without even thinking about God. God's not important to them. Everything else is important to them. The weather. Their comfort. The food they're going to eat. Where they're going to go. Their job. Their vacation. Their car. There's a million things that are important. They're on their mind. But not God. Psalm number 10, verse 4 says, God is not in all his thoughts. So how can he love God with all his mind when he's not even thinking about God? You see, so for the unsaved, it's impossible to love God with all his mind. First, he has to get saved. First, he has to recognize he's lost. And repent and say, Lord, I've left you out of my life. I've left you out of my thoughts. You're not a part of it. Please become a part of my life. Please save me. Then he can love the Lord God. And by the way, he can start loving the Lord God with all his mind immediately. Start reading the Word of God to know more about the mind of God. And find out what God wants him to do. And then he can love the Lord God with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind. So they don't love God. God is not in all their thoughts. And therefore, since God is not in all their thoughts, they can't love God with all their mind. Now, oftentimes, though, even Christians struggle with this. And I think this message should be primarily for Christians. Because the majority of people assembled here today are already saved. You already are a child of God. And sometimes you struggle. Do I really love the Lord God with all my mind? Now you've got to ask yourself that. That would be a good New Year's resolution. This year, I'm determined to love the Lord God with all my mind. That's important, you see. So the beginning of this new year, I'd like to encourage each person here to ask the Lord to help him or her to think properly. To think biblically. Or as Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 3, we stop at verse 2, but the next verse says, to think soberly. This time of year, some people don't think soberly. They're drunk. New Year's celebrations, and they're drinking, and they're not thinking soberly. But you know what? You don't have to be a drunkard to not think soberly, the wrong way. You can never touch a drop, and yet you're not thinking soberly. You see? Think soberly. Think clearly. Hey, think biblically. That's what I want to try to emphasize this morning. Now, I have divided my exposition in three parts, and I'm trying to make it as practical and as helpful as I can. First, my message is entitled A New Mind for the New Year. First, a yielded mind. God wants a yielded mind. Not a stubborn mind. Probably a lot of those around. A yielded mind. Then secondly, after we look at that, a yielded mind, a transformed mind. God wants to change your way of thinking. And if you've been saved for any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. You've changed your thinking. God has changed it. Helped you with that. You're not thinking the way you used to think, right? Now you're changing your thinking. A transformed mind. And thirdly, a renewed mind. All right? So a yielded mind, a transformed mind, a renewed mind. And I'll explain more of what I mean by that as we go along. Now first, let's look at a yielded mind. Now the word yielded is not found in our text, but I want you to look in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the word present. The word present. Not present, like Christmas present. Present like a verb. I beseech you. He's begging. He's begging us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, talking to Christians, talking to believers, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The idea here between present is to yield. In fact, if you have a good study Bible, like a Scofield Bible, you'll notice in a margin it says yield. That's what it means. Yield yourself to God. Yield to God. Too many people are not yielding to God. I said it recently. Their favorite song is I Shall Not Be Moved. You know? I mean, they're just stuck. It's got to be their way. Beloved, you'll never go forward in the Christian life with that kind of attitude. Never. God's not going to be able to use you if you're stubborn. If you're holding out, it's got to be your way. You see? It's got to be God's way. I read in the paper recently, some politician around here recently resigned. Well, he didn't get reelected, but it was. And they had a big dinner for him, and all the big shots came out, and the mayor was there, and so on. And he sang, I Did It My Way. And they all thought that was funny. Well, I'm glad I wasn't there. I wouldn't think that's so funny. We shouldn't boast and brag, I did it my way. Hey, I'm happy to say I try to do it God's way. Amen? I'm not always successful at it. I make my mistake, but I try to do it God's way. And that will be our song, our prayer. We want to do it God's way. But the worldly attitude, I did it my way. That's it. We have to have a yielded mind. What does God want? What's the will of God in this matter? What's pleasing to God? What does God's word say about this? A yielded mind. And notice again in chapter 12, verse 1, that you present your bodies. And beloved, when you present your bodies, that includes your mind. A living sacrifice. Holy. And you know, we don't hear much preaching about being holy anymore. I hate to say this, but some churches are decidedly unholy. And that's disgraceful. Holy. And some Christians aren't very holy. Whatever happened to holy living? Holiness, the holiness of God. Wouldn't it be a holy people? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's reasonable to be yielded to God. Not unreasonable. God never expects us to do anything unreasonable. But some Christians think it's unreasonable. Oh, that's, you're too strict. And that's unreasonable. No, it's never unreasonable to serve God and to be yielded to God. So when we present our bodies to the Lord, we present everything to God. Our hands, our feet, our eyes, our mouth, our ears, and our mind. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Our mind. A yielded mind. Now, beloved, I strongly believe in education. My wife and I both believe in education. We're educated people. Our children are educated. We always made sure that they got a good education. We believe strongly in that. But education must begin with the Bible. Amen. With the Word of God. Amen. We have people today that are educated, but they're devils.
Yes.
Wicked.
Yes.
Ungodly. Yes. They've been to the best schools, but they're godless.
Yes. Yes.
Education must begin with the precious Word of God. George Washington, the father of our country, said, the perpetuity of this nation depends upon the religious education of the young. He also said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. We've come a long way from those days here in America. I'll tell you what. Abraham Lincoln, another great president, said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given a man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Amen?
Amen.
Daniel Webster, the great statesman, said, if there's anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me at an early age a love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. He almost sounds like a prophet. Huh? Let me repeat that. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. Amen. But if we neglect, if we in our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden the catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. That's happening before our very eyes. It's plain to see we've changed direction here in this country. And it's not the right direction. Listen, beloved, the devil is a master at brainwashing. I'm no expert in brainwashing, but I've done a little bit of research. The communists are good brainwashers. And there are other groups that brainwash also. And I've done a little research, a little reading on that. It's an interesting subject. But they've learned all their tricks from the devil, the master brainwashing. The devil is a master at brainwashing. I'll give you some examples how he's brainwashing the masses today. He uses the television. He uses popular movies, music, the computer. I mentioned a few minutes ago, the computer, the internet, can be a great tool for getting the gospel out. And we thank God our sermons, not just mine, but Carl and other preachers who preach here, and evangelists and missionaries, we thank God we record their sermons and they're all over the world now. Even in restricted countries. We thank God for that. But the devil's pretty good at using the computer for his nefarious purposes too. Let me tell you that. Oh yes. Pornography and all sorts of filth all over the computer. And some parents are careless and let their children in front of the computer watching all sorts of bad things, wicked things. What are you doing in there? Okay, Mom, do my homework and watch all sorts of filth. Parents, you have to be careful what your kids are watching. And not just on the computer, on television. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I think it's wrong, I think it's foolish for parents to put a TV in their child's room. I think it's a big mistake. He's in there watching TV, she's in there watching TV. You don't know what they're watching? It could be the most wicked thing in the world. Parents are so busy doing things, not paying attention, and the kids are in there getting brainwashed. And the devil's putting bad things in their head. In their mind. Look at their mind this morning. We need a yielded mind. Yielded to God, not yielded to the devil. So the devil's a brainwasher. And uses the computer. The school system. How sad that the schools which should be teaching children right from wrong and teaching them the word of God, teaching them good manners and love for parents and love for home and love for country are not doing that now. They're misleading our children, miseducating them. Many ungodly teachers, and they can't even get rid of them now because of these powerful unions. And they're tenured, and you can't get rid of them. He can be a child molester, a homosexual, a communist. They can't get rid of them. The school system. Politics. Oh, the devil's pretty active in that, I can tell you that. The news media. The news media is brainwashing the masses. And many other things the devil uses to confuse people and brainwash people. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to change our thinking, to think properly. Beloved, be yielded to the Spirit of God and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and study the Bible. And the Bible will help you to think properly. You see, we must yield to God. Have a yielded mind. And this happens, we can apply this to so many different things. Now, let me talk about the music we listen to. I'm grieved over this. Many young people in Christian homes, in churches like this, are listening to the wrong kind of music. It's getting kind of quiet around here. Amen, preacher, amen. You know I'm right. Maybe some of you parents listen to the wrong kind of music. Shame on you if you are. If you aren't, get right with God today. Come up here and kneel down. Lord, I'm sorry. I listen to the wrong kind of music. You know, you listen to your soft rock. See, if you listen to the hard rock. Huh? Rock is rock. It's all rotten. Tell you right now. It's not good. Time and time again, I've heard young people admit that they got backslidden. And the reason they got backslidden is because they listen to the wrong kind of music. I think someone's alarm's going off out there. You got a car alarm, you don't want to go out and hit the button. That's in our parking lot. All right. So the Bible teaches us that there's a good music and there's a wrong music. And I've heard young people admit that they got backslidden and they got rebellious because they were listening to the wrong kind of music. Many, many times I've heard that. They'll admit it.
you.
Oh, listen to the wrong kind of music. Now, there's other factors too. Wrong kind of friends. Eh? And so on. But the music is important. Be careful what kind of music you listen to. Music is a powerful form of communication. Television and radio advertisers recognize this. That's why music is a big part of advertising. Why would they spend a lot of money on advertising? They know it's powerful, effective. Music affects people in a very profound way. And it can be a good way or a bad way. The music at the theater was very moving. I didn't understand the words to the songs, but I could feel the power of the music. It was very effective at the theater the other day. They were singing, and it was very touching. Music can be a very good, positive, or bad thing. We can sing hymns of praise, and it's wonderful. The devil has his music too. Music can be very, very powerful. It's a powerful form of communication. Television and advertisers, they know this. People who produce movies and television know this. You're watching a movie, maybe, and you hear a spooky, you know, something bad's going to happen, right? Or you're happy music, something good's going to happen. Or you hear romantic music, someone's going to get married, I don't know. We're trying to say, there's music sets a mood. And it can be the wrong mood. If it's the wrong music, you see. People who manage stores and restaurants know this. Right? You go into a restaurant, the music tells you a lot right now. By the way, some restaurants I don't go to. If I walk in and they got rock music playing, I turn around and leave. Or sometimes I'll ask you, please lower that. If they say, yeah, lower it, maybe I'll stay. If they don't lower it, I'll walk out. I guess you don't want my business. I don't want to get indigestion listening to that junky music. Sometimes you can't even talk and enjoy something so loud. But what I'm trying to say is people understand this. People want to know. Now, I want to say this. The devil knows a lot about music. Ezekiel chapter 28 gives us a vivid description of Satan. Ezekiel 28, verse 14, says Satan was the anointed cherub that covereth. Ezekiel 28, verse 15, says thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. So the Bible says Satan was created perfect, but then iniquity was found in him. He rebelled against God. Now listen to this. Ezekiel 28 and verse 13, and I'm quoting. Ezekiel 28, 13 says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now a lot of people read that and don't really pay attention to that. What does that mean, tabrets and pipes? Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said, these tabrets and pipes refer to hand instruments and wind instruments. In other words, they're musical instruments. The devil is an expert musician. Have you thought about that? Therefore, Satan is using music to lead people the wrong way. There's no doubt about it. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and I can testify that music had a very big influence on my generation. And many young people my age got into drugs, rebellion, sin, immorality, through the influence of the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan. All the big rock and roll people were rebels. All of them, without exception. Rebels. Rebel against authority. Rebel against your parents. Rebel against the government. Rebel against everything. All their songs about immorality, dope, and all this kind of wicked stuff. And they misled them. And then also, a lot of these rock groups influenced young people to get into the occult. And New Age, and TM, and all sorts of false religions. So music, the devil's using music to lead people astray. There's no question about it. And I don't care what kind of music you listen to. If it's popular music today, you can call it pop, or rock, or rap, or hip-hop, or country western, or jazz, or rhythm and blues. I hope I cover all the bases here, all right? Because no matter what you call it, the devil's in it. I'll tell you right now. I was preaching one time about rock, and I mentioned some popular groups. Later on, some young people said, Pastor, you're so old-fashioned, you don't even know what's going on today. So I'll admit, I'm not up to the latest groups and singers. It's all rotten, okay? I don't care what the names are. I'm glad I don't know their names. I don't want to know their names. The devil. No matter what it is, the devil's in it, and it all centers on lust. It does. It's all about lust. Even the way they look. You see a picture in the paper of some singer. She doesn't look right. She looks trampy. Yeah. trying to be so blunt, but it happens to me sometimes. Parents don't let your kids listen to that junk. You want your daughter to stay chaste? You want her to stay pure? You want her to be a virgin when she gets married? Don't let her listen to that junk!
Amen.
The devil mixes together graphic lyrics with a sensuous beat to produce pornographic music. That's all it is. It's pornography set to music. I remember years ago, somebody said to my wife, well, you know, Ms. Barker, Pastor Barker preaches a lot about rap music and rap music, and we know what's wrong, but we listen to some of the good stuff. Oh, yeah? What's the good stuff? And then, Usher. So I said, I don't know anything about no Usher. I only know Usher. I know Brother Gary, you know, Brother Seymour. Who's Usher? Someone on the internet and doing research. And had all you get all the lyrics, by the way, on the internet. You get all the lyrics to all these rotten songs. It's dirty. It's X-rated. That's good. That's not good. He's supposed to be one of the good ones. Hey, if he's one of the good ones, hey, you see who the bad ones are. All dirty words. Dirty lyrics. Suggestive, lewd. All around lust. I went online the other day to see what the top songs are. Every single one of them was dirty and vulgar. Every one, without exception. I couldn't even read the lyrics from this pulpit. I couldn't even read them to you in a private conversation. I'd be blushing. I'd be too embarrassed to talk about some of the words. So dirty. I glanced at just a few of them. I felt nauseated. I felt kind of sick. I had to stop. Multitudes of young people are being swept away. The devil's using them to destroy their minds. Destroy their minds. Swept away into promiscuity. Drugs. Drinking. The occult. Despair. Even suicide. Some young people commit suicide after being caught up in that kind of music. It's a fact. There have been parents that have tried to sue record producers because their kids were listening to these kind of songs. It's no use. Why bother trying? Go kill yourself. And they kept listening to that and they committed suicide and the parents found out. The parents listened to it. Oh, wow. Look what my child was listening to. No wonder he committed suicide. And they tried to sue over that. I don't know if the suit was successful or not. It doesn't matter. The point is, these songs encourage suicide, some of them. Despair. The devil's behind that. Young people, why in the world do you want to take your life? Get right with God. God has a wonderful plan for your life. You can serve God. He can give you a good godly husband, a good godly wife. And get involved in church. Help out. There's so many things you can do for the Lord. Get a good education. Get a good job. Raise a family. Don't ruin your life. Throw it away. See how the devil messes up their minds? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, 18. Most of you are familiar with that verse. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Christians are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The next verse, the very next verse, and it's no coincidence they're connected like this. The next verse, Ephesians 5, 19, says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see the connection? If you're filled with the Spirit, you can be singing joyful music, Christian music. You can be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a new song in your heart. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'll admit something to you. Before I got saved, I listened to all that junky music. Oh, yeah, I knew all that. Of course, that was a long time ago. So the popular singers then are different than the ones now. I mentioned the Beatles, Rolling Stone. I remember they all came out. I used to listen to that record. But when I got saved, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I realized that music's not right. I got rid of it. I just struggled at first, but then I tell you what, once I got rid of it, I felt such peace. And then God called me to preach. He'll never call me to preach if I was listening to that kind of junky music. And what kind of preacher would I be if I'm listening to that kind of music? I question sometimes some of these preachers who listen to the wrong kind of music. I wouldn't want to sit under that kind of preaching. They have nothing that I want to hear. Nothing that I can find helpful to listen to them preach. Now, you remember when an evil spirit troubled King Saul. 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 23, says, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Did you get that? David played beautiful music with his harp, and Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see the influence of good music, what it can do? The positive things of good music. And negatively, The wrong kind of music attracts evil spirits. Good, godly music repels them, and they go. Music's powerful. And I said earlier, the devil knows all God back, because he's a musician. I'll give you another verse. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. In 2 Kings 3:15, the prophet Elisha said, "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. So Elisha the prophet, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a great man of God. He calls for a minstrel. The minstrel played and the Spirit of God came upon him. In a powerful way. Because of beautiful music. You see? Now, the Bible teaches that music can be either refreshing and soothing, or it can be very dangerous and harmful. The Bible's clear on that. There's good music and there's wicked music. And some of the most filthy, outrageous, disgusting, horrible videos are shown constantly on TV shows, TV stations, like MTV and BET. Again, parents, don't let your kids watch it. Say, well, we have cable TV. Block those channels. Just block them. That's all. Don't put a TV in your child's room. If you got one there, repent, say, "God, I'm sorry, that was a big blunder," and get it out of there. And if you can't control it, get rid of it. You don't need it. Be careful. It's like having a snake running around your house. Matter of fact, somebody shows it so bad, it's like having a whole bunch of snakes running around your house. Impressionable young minds are being destroyed. We're talking about the mind this morning, right? Minds are being destroyed from watching this kind of garbage. Dirty lyrics. Indecent dancing. And it's all putting the wrong kind of ideas in young people's heads. And most parents don't seem to know what's going on. I recently read an interview in the newspaper with a woman named Sheila Johnson. Sheila Johnson, her ex-husband Bob Johnson, founded the Black Entertainment Television. It goes by the acronym BET. I'm sure many of you heard of that. It's very, very successful, very popular. BET. They sold BET to Viacom in the year 2000 for $1.3 billion. You get that? They sold it. They started it themselves. It was very successful. They sold it for $1.3 billion. And that was 10 years ago. Who knows what it's worth now? And listen to this. Referring to the BET station that she herself started, Mrs. Johnson said, "I do not watch it. I suggest to my kids that they don't watch it. I'm ashamed of it." If you really want to know the truth. She admits that she started a monster. And she's ashamed of it now. Won't watch it. Tells her kids don't watch it. And yet she started it. She said there's presently an AIDS epidemic in Washington, D.C. And she says the BET network is making the AIDS epidemic worse. And is contributing to the spread of AIDS by promoting, and I'm quoting from the article, by promoting promiscuous sex in raunchy videos. So she's going to be a problem with AIDS, and the network that I started is responsible for spreading it because they're promoting immorality and promiscuity. Hello? Maybe there's some here, you watch that junk on the TV. If you do, you know I'm right. It's not good to listen to that. And watch that. The devil's using that to mess up your mind. I'll continue with Mrs. Johnson. When we started BET, it was going to be the Ebony magazine on television, she said. We had a public affairs programming. We had news. I had a show called Teen Summit. We had a large variety of programming. But the, watch this now. But the problem is that when the video revolution started up, and then something started happening, and I didn't like it at all. And I remember during those days, we would sit up and watch these videos and decide which ones were going on and which ones were not going on. We got a lot of backlash from recording artists, and we had to start showing them. I didn't like the way women were being portrayed in those videos. That's an understatement, the way women are portrayed in those videos. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to get out of hand, but you know what I'm talking about. It's disgraceful, the way women are portrayed in those raunchy videos. And not just BET, but MTV and all. Horrible! Why would parents allow their kids to see that? Why would parents want their daughters to dress that way? Or allow them just that way. Johnson says she has absolutely nothing to do with BET these days. I just really wish, he said, not just BET, but a lot of television programming, that they would stop lowering the bar. That's a good way. She's trying to just keep lowering it and lowering it and lowering it. How low can you go? I wish they'd stop lowering the bar, she said. I know they think that that's what's going on to keep programming on the air. That's what's going to sell advertising. But there has to be some responsibility. Somebody's got to take this over. Because with all the studies that are out there, this is contributing to an atmosphere of free sex. Yes, of course. Listen, beloved, let's make up our minds this year that we're going to, let's make up our minds. Let's determine in our hearts that we're going to yield our minds to the Lord this year. And every year. Especially parents. Be very careful. Let's make our minds. We're not going to allow our kids to be influenced this way. And to be destroyed this way. To be abused this way. To be brainwashed this way. Well, the first point is a yielded mind. I'm running out of time. Quickly. The second point, a transformed mind. If you look at our text, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be worldly. Don't be worldly in your thinking. Don't be worldly in your lifestyle. But be transformed. God wants us to be transformed. God wants us to allow Him to transform us. Now, the many references in Scripture to proper thinking indicate its importance. I was looking through the Bible as I prepared this message. I found so many references to thinking that I said, I can't possibly preach them all. I could do a series on this. But let me just pick a few. Job. You all know about Job. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job 31, verse 1. You see what he said? Why should I think upon a maid? What he means is, I'm a married man. I have a wife. Why should I think upon some other woman? It starts with thinking. You talk to any old rascal who's been unfaithful to his wife, it started with thinking. Thinking, the wrong thoughts led to the wrong actions. Flirting, right? Suggestive comments. Hints. Oh, you're working late tonight? Maybe I can give you a ride home. That's a lovely dress you're wearing. I like the way you wear your hair like that. You see? It starts with the wrong thinking. Right? Now, David, when he saw Bathsheba, he was thinking about it before he sent someone to go fetch her, right? I can give many examples. It starts with the wrong thinking. And by the way, thank God Job was thinking right. Because remember, Job's wife said, curse God and die. Remember? So Job could have thought, well, she's not right with God. I'll get a new wife. That's the way some people think. It's a fact. They try to rationalize it. Try to justify it. Make excuses for it. My wife doesn't understand me. So it's okay for me to get another girlfriend. Huh? The wrong thinking. Job had the right thinking. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, I'm not going to give any thought. I'm not going to think about any other woman. I made a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to think. I'm going to look. It starts with thinking. The wrong thinking. We need a transformed mind. Job had a transformed mind. Beloved, people do not think right because they're being manipulated by the world. And they don't even realize it. For example, I mentioned television. A typical television show or a movie will portray adultery in a very positive way, oftentimes. They will. If you've watched any TV shows, you don't know, that's why I like to watch most of it. I'm going to watch something that's something so old, black and white, before they had all this film. So old John Wayne movie or something. I don't like this stuff. They portray it in a positive way. And they're trying to justify it. The wife and husband are fighting. They're not getting along. They're separated. You can go out and cheat with someone else. And it's portrayed in a nice way. There's nothing nice about that. It's adultery. It's wrong. Amen. Nothing good about that. You see. But the TV portrays it. Not only adultery, they portray homosexuality as a positive thing. I've heard, and again, I'm going by hearsay because I can't watch this junk. I can't stomach it. I don't like it. I don't watch it. But I heard that many of these TV shows portray homosexual characters in a very positive way. Sometimes the most winsome personality, the most attractive person in the whole show is a homosexual. He's the most lovable, the kindest, the nicest. And then if somebody's opposed to it, he's a villain. He's a hypocrite. You see? He doesn't like homosexuality. He's something wrong with that guy. He's a phony. He's a hypocrite. He's not. He's mean. Right? But the guy who's a homosexual, he's wonderful. See? Everybody loves him. He's the sweetest guy in the job, nicest guy in the family, nicest guy in the block. Everybody loves him. That's brainwashing!
Amen.
Brainwashing. Need a transformed mind. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Beloved, wrong thinking leads to wrong decisions. I mentioned David. I can give many other examples. If you know your Bible, the right thinking leads to the right decisions. Joseph had the right thinking. So when Potiphar's wife flirted with him, he ran away. Right thinking. Wrong. See, Joseph could have justified that. Well, you know, I can't say no. She's the boss's wife. I don't want to get her mad at me. I don't want to lose my job. You see? You know, you only go around the block once. I heard all these crazy things people say, you know. Life is short. Go for all the gusto. That doesn't mean go for all the sin. Listen, you reap what you sow. Wrong thinking leads to wrong decisions, and wrong decisions leads to wrong living. Someone put it this way, and I quote, "Sow a thought, you'll reap an action. Sow an action, you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit, you'll reap a character. Sow a character, you'll reap a life." Young people, I hope you listen to what I'm saying. You're young now, your whole life ahead of you. Better start thinking right now. Old people, it's never too late to change. I admit, you know, I've been thinking right. I ask the Lord to help me with my thinking. Young people especially, think right. Regarding a transformed mind, Matthew Henry said, "This transformation is here pressed as a duty. Lay your souls under the changing, transforming influences of the blessed Holy Spirit." Matthew Henry went on to say that the greatest enemy to this renewing is conformity to this world. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world." Beloved, God saved us and delivered us from this present evil world. We're not to be worldly. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." When people are being influenced and brainwashed by the world, they don't realize they're being brainwashed, influenced by the devil, because the devil uses the world. You've often heard the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil uses the world and the flesh. He uses that. And he knows how to do that. He's an expert at that. He's had thousands of years' experience doing that. You're no match for him, believe me. Satan misleads people and deceives people. And he uses the flesh and the world and all their allurements to destroy people. The Lord Jesus referred to Satan as the prince of this world 3 times in the Gospel of John. John 12:31, 14:30, and 16:11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan is called the god of this world, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the what? The minds. Not the eyes, the minds. You get that? 2 Corinthians 4, 4, in whom the god of this world, referred to Satan, has blinded the minds. He's blinding people's minds. We need a yielded mind and a transformed mind. Not a blinded mind. Not a brainwashed mind. Not a deceived mind. Not a twisted mind. Some people's minds are twisted. Now you read the paper, some horrible fiend. He does something terrible, terrible. I don't want to talk about it. Rape and murder and mayhem. And you say, what a twisted mind. It starts gradually. That didn't happen overnight. The devil was deceiving him and misleading him step by step. Until it gets to the point where it's terrible, horrible crime. It starts little by little. Make your mind now. I'm not going to give the devil an inch. You give an inch, you can take a mile. The god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil doesn't want the gospel light to shine on us. He tries to blind people's minds. Satan blinds their minds, twists their thinking. Again, I don't want to keep on going back to this, but it's such a big issue today. I have to deal with it. But when I was a child, it wasn't that long ago, by the way. It seemed a long time ago. But seriously, when I was a child, the vast majority of people here in America thought homosexuality was wrong. That was wicked and immoral and perverted and so on. Now we're told by surveys and statistics the majority of people think it's okay. How did that happen? The devil has played tricks with their mind. The devil has deceived their minds. Certainly they didn't change their thinking because of the Bible. The Bible hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. What happened? People are not thinking biblically. Their minds are messed up. The devil has got into their minds. One of our members was on a softball team, and he was trying to get a petition to stop some kind of homosexual thing going on around here. And some of the people on the softball team got mad at him. Well, you shouldn't do that. Live and let live. Who are you to judge? What? It's amazing what's going on. The devil has been very successful. The devil's working overtime, and many Christians are sleeping. I'll tell you right now. I just read yesterday's newspaper. Sandra Lee is the glamorous, I'm quoting now, this is not my opinion, I don't think she's glamorous at all, but this is what the paper said. Sandra Lee is the glamorous live-in love of Governor Cuomo. And nobody seems to mind that they're not married. The times they have changed, said Doug Muzio, a Baruch College political expert. Divorce or living together without being married are no longer a big deal. I mean, it's a societal norm. It may seem like a societal norm, but God's Word doesn't approve of it. Amen. The Bible doesn't condone it. My Bible says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Amen.
Whether he's a governor or some bum on the street, God's going to judge him.
Amen.
Oh, this Governor Cuomo. One day in office already's got me upset. Oh. Yeah. It's going to be a long 4 years, I tell you that. Man. The article went on to say, though some may still raise eyebrows over Cuomo's relationship with the Food Network star, it's raised nary a public whisper from political rivals or religious leaders. You get that? Where are the religious leaders? How come no one's speaking out? Listen to this. Michael Long, chairman of the New York State Conservative Party. By the way, the New York State Conservative Party is not very conservative. I'll tell you right now. Say amen, Rob. Amen. I don't hear anybody talking about it, said Mr. Long. Absolutely not. That's true. I don't hear anything about it. Back when Nelson Rockefeller was governor, and he was a real whoremonger and all this, it was all over the page. Disgrace, scandal. This guy will never become president. He's immoral. Now, Cuomo, what was the big deal? The article then referred to the haughty mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, and his tacky mistress. It says, it certainly hasn't caused problems for Mayor Bloomberg and his longtime gal pal, Diana Taylor. Both are also divorced. It may not cause problems here in wicked New York City for Mayor Bloomberg and his gal pal, but it's going to cause problems when he stands before God. I'll tell you right now.
Amen.
If he stands before God, it's going to cause problems. Here in New York City, it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. Anything goes. Okay, Mr. Bloomberg, you're living together with your girlfriend. Ha ha. God's not laughing at that. God's not winking at that. Somehow, it's not surprising that the Roman Catholic Church has approved of Mr. Cuomo and his girlfriend living together. We're told they're good Roman Catholics. That's what the paper said. I'm not making this up. The newspaper article said they're good Catholics. They're living together, not married, but it's okay. Hey, stop it! You can't be a good Catholic. You can't be a Christian to live like that. You couldn't join a good Baptist church you live like that. And they asked a Roman Catholic priest, who conveniently didn't give his name. If you look at the names of the paper, this kind of priest said, don't give my name. He said, he takes his Catholicism very seriously. Of the Cuomo-Lee live-in relationship, the priest said, I'm not going to condemn it, but at the same time, I'm not going to condone it. How's that for double talk, huh? How's that? I'm not going to condemn it. I'm not going to condone it. Hey, let's see what you really have on your mind, you phony. What double talk is that? These priests and these unsaved ministers, they're experts in double talk. Talk plainly. Tell us what you really think. Thank you. Man, I'm just getting started. We're going to stop the stuff soon. All right. That priest, that unregenerate priest, needs to have his mind transformed by the power of the gospel. Amen? He needs a transformed mind. Well, we got a yielded mind and transformed mind. I really got to go now before I make too much damage up here. A renewed mind. Need a renewed mind. Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. With a renewed mind. And said, preacher, how do I have a renewed mind? By the Word of God. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Memorize your Bible. Have devotions with your Bible. Have devotions, family devotions with your Bible. Come to church when the doors are open. Come to Sunday school on time. Get into the Word of God. You need a renewed mind. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Do you get that? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a renewed mind. The only way you can do that is through a renewed mind. You need mind for the yield and surrender to God. And renewed minds. Well, let me say this. When we recognize certain music is wrong, replace it with the right kind of music. Right? Yeah. There's some good music out there. There's pleasing, nice music, godly music. We recognize certain movies or television shows are inappropriate, immoral, ungodly, or novels or magazines. I don't care, waste your time reading novels or worldly magazines. Replace that with the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 11. And by the way, in addition to reading the Bible, it's good to read good Christian literature, good Christian books. I strongly recommend reading biographies of good Christians, like David Livingston, Hudson Taylor, William Carey. You know, read books about great missionaries and Christians of the past. George Mueller, D.L. Moody, Isabel Kuhn, Amy Carmichael. Read these books about these good, godly Christians. You learn much. They're inspiring. They're helpful. Especially young people. Young people, you need good role models. Not these athletes that are always immoral and on drugs and have tattoos all over the place. Those aren't good role models. Earrings and all this other stuff. I mentioned the other day, I was driving down the street. I saw a guy shoveling snow. His pants were down in here. I couldn't believe my eyes. It seems he's going to catch pneumonia. They're shoveling snow and he could hardly even shovel because the pants were down here. Come on, we need good role models. These kids need something good role models. Pull your pants up and then get those earrings out of your ear. Look like a man, huh? Not like some clown. It has been pointed out that the word renewing literally means renovated. So when God says we need a renewed mind, it means a renovated mind. You got that? When we bought this building, it was an old fish store. And now, by God's grace, it's been renovated. Amen? Amen? Now it's a beautiful worship building. A Baptist church building. It's been renovated. But God wants us to renovate our minds. Renew our minds. Just as our renovation project was gradual, it took us quite a few years to get the building looking nice, the same way with God's renewal program. It doesn't happen overnight. Don't be discouraged. You've been saved for a while and you feel like you failed. It takes time in God's renewal program too. Amen? Just like it took a while to get this building in shape, it's going to take a while for God to work on you. But just yield yourself and God will help you. Amen? And you'll make progress. Step by step. We're all growing in the Lord. Amen? We all stumble and fall. I look back and see things and wow, I should have done that differently. And I'm not satisfied with my progress. I want to get closer to the Lord. Amen? I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better Christian. Amen? One preacher put it this way. It's a joint effort between the indwelling Holy Spirit and the faculties of the yielded saint. The Holy Spirit initiates, illumines, enlightens, and quickens the mind. The believer integrates truth by reception, meditation, and obedience. That's a good quote. A renewed mind has to be constantly nourished by the Word of God. Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23:12. Peter said, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. God's Word strengthens us, nourishes us, and guides us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. A renewed mind will reject thoughts and ideas that are contrary to the word of God. Bad ideas and thoughts will come, but a renewed mind will recognize they're wrong and reject them, right? Bad ideas are going to pop into our head every day. Even if someone doesn't say anything bad, or you don't listen to something bad on radio or TV, or this comes in. Someone said, you know, a bird can land on your head. You don't got to let him build a nest there, huh? Yeah. Some people let him build a big nest. Now, a renewed mind rejects things that are contrary to the Word of God. You know, we're all familiar with the word mindset. It means a fixed mental attitude or disposition that predetermines a person's responses to and interpretations of situations, an inclination or a habit. Because of sin, our minds are fallen. Our minds have a mindset that is bent, a bent that is hostile to the things of God. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm going to conclude with a quote from Andrew Murray. I mentioned before, he placed things that are displeasing to God with the Word of God and good Christian books. I can recommend anything by Andrew Murray. Andrew Murray said, the attempt to do the will of God with a heart that does not daily seek and find the renewing of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of the mind must end in failure. It is only a healthy man who can do a healthy man's work. It is only a spiritual man who can walk in the spiritual path of obedience to all God's will. Notice, it's the renewing of the Holy Spirit in the spirit of the mind. And again, Ephesians 4:30, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to preach this Lord's Day. Lord, I feel like I have only scratched the surface of this important subject, this great topic. But I hope and pray some things that were said today were help and encouragement to Christians assembled here. Lord, we're all in various stages of growth in our Christian walk, our Christian life. Some have been saved for a long, long time. Some have been only recently saved, and perhaps there's some here that aren't even saved yet. But I pray, Lord, the Spirit of God will apply these things as we've heard them today. And I pray you'll move in a special way now during this invitation time.